So we are continuing our series on moving into the life that God calls us to in the zone. And it is a place of power where your life becomes more than you could ever imagine. When you understand God's presence and God's power, when you open yourself to the Holy Spirit, as Jesus says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you shall receive power. Where are the people that need some power today? God's power in your life. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and your life will influence others like you could never imagine. So the doorways we've been looking at, the keys, people ask, why do you wear a key? Because God's given me the key to the kingdom of God. He's given it to you too. And that kingdom is not just a matter of talk, lecture, another sermon. That kingdom is a kingdom of power. So we talked about surrendering, walking through the door of surrender. We walked through the door of compassion. Because it's not about me, it's about we. It's not about me getting power for my sake. It's about being empowered by God for the we. And we're talking about desire, and there's a key invitation and instruction to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 14 says, follow the way of love. That's great advice. And desire, watch this, desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're talking about for the next few weeks, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that you are gifted? Did you know that you're in the gifted class? Nudge your neighbor, say, he's talking about you. You are in the gifted class. And so those who study Scripture, you may know this, but for others it may be just information, that the New Testament has three major lists of gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. The first gift list, and if you're taking some notes, you may want to note it down. Shouldn't do that with my teeth, sorry. The first gift list is in Romans chapter 12. That's where we're going to look today. But there's two more lists that we're going to look at as well in this series. The second list is in Ephesians chapter 4. And the third list is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, if you add up, this one has five gifts of the Holy Spirit. This one has, seven. This one has five, and this one has nine. So some people, when they study this, add these all up and say there's 21 gifts, and there'll be a test for 21 gifts. And some people add in some gifts from the Old Testament. Our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters have seven gifts of the Holy Spirit that they take out of a passage in Isaiah. But each list has a purpose. So the list we're looking at today comes from Romans 12. And those of you that know Romans 12 know how it opens. It says, stop being pressured by this world. Don't be conformed to this world. It calls us to be transformed into the person God wants us to be. It's a passage of transformation. And then it says, every one of you has received a gift from God or a grace from God. And then it lists seven gifts. So I absolutely know that everyone in this room that has said yes to God has been gifted by God with one of these seven areas. Sorry, I'm going to do this again. For the last time, I hope. So today we're going to call these gifts, they're foundational to who you are, your personality. Motivational gifts. The Ephesians 4 list, which we're going to look at next week, have a purpose. It's a different purpose. It's to equip people who believe for service and ministry. We're going to call these ministry gifts. We'll look at them next week. Do you know? Okay, let me just remind you. Everyone in this place is called to ministry. It's not a professional ministry that we do on the stage. Every single person here is an ordained minister. And how to move into that ministry, what it is. And then this list here, 1 Corinthians, where Paul is answering questions about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because the people were talking about them. Every time I talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, people have a lot of questions. I've been answering a lot of questions this last week. What about this? What about this? What about this? And so he writes to answer questions. And he says, hey, it's very important when you understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they call you to worship. And they call you not to worship like you used to worship, dead idols that have no ears. Instead, it calls us to Jesus. And he says, by the Spirit, all people say Jesus is Lord. It brings us to Jesus and helps us on the planet to manifest. Jesus. So these are the three lists we're going to look at while we're in this series. Motivational, that make up your personality. Ministry gifts that everyone has. You have one of these ministry gifts. We'll talk about that next week. And then the 9 motivational gifts that I believe every person in this room has access to. Do you know that God wants to use you to heal the sick? He does. Do you know that God wants to use you to see miracles? He does. Every person. Okay, but today, where are we? Motivation. So I'm going to flip my board. Ta-da! Thank you. All those that started clapping, you may have the encouraging gift. We'll talk about that. You may have that. Let's read the passage, okay? And then we'll study it together. Ready? Here's what Scripture says to us. Verse 6 of chapter 12, we have different gifts. Everyone has a different gift. According to the grace or the giftedness that God gives to us. And then it lists the 7 gifts. Here they are. Watch. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage people, then give encouragement. If it's giving or generosity, then give generously. If it's leadership or to lead, then do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. 7 gifts. And I'd like, by the time we're done today, for you to at least begin to tune in to the gift you have, because once you realize that, once you desire that gift to be unwrapped in your life, it transforms you. Romans 12 is a transformational passage into the person that God wants you to be in a greater measure. So as we say, God, okay, I'd like to exercise my gift today. I'd like to step into that. So let's just look at what these words mean. Now, first of all, this word, prophetic, it has some religious connotations, and some people are very hesitant to say, well, I'm a prophet. So if you want a softer word or another word, maybe perceiving gift, here's how these personalities work. Here's how this gift works. These perceiving prophetic people see the thing behind the thing. They don't just see the surface of a person or an organization. They perceive things. And watch this. They see something and they say something. Yeah, it's in the Bible. No, it's not in the Bible. But that's what they do. They see things and they say things. These people tend to be, if you know someone like this or if this is you, they tend to be very black and white people. They call you to be right, to do right. There's very little margin for error with these people. They believe strongly and passionately. They have a strong sense of justice and a strong sense of injustice if justice is violated. The upside is that they're always calling you to be right, to do right. The downside is they're very hard on you. If you have a friend like this, they're going to be hard on you. They're going to ride you. And they sometimes can be very hard on themselves. An example of this in the Bible would be John the Baptist. John the Baptist didn't play. He was black and white. He called people to repent. Turn! Repent! In fact, one day people showed up to his meeting, and he felt their motivation was poor. He saw the thing behind the thing. He perceived their intentions, and he yells at them during the service, hey! Just imagine me doing this. Hey, you snakes. I hate to use this section, but just say I'm going to use this section. You may get up and walk away. Hey, you snakes, you vipers. Who told you to come to my meeting? He was hard on them. He was prophetic. Now, they can tend to be, watch this. Sometimes they look at life through dark glasses. And this is the downside. Remember John the Baptist? When he was in prison, he got very dark, very fast. And he sent word to say, Jesus, are you really the Messiah? Even though he had heard the audible voice of God in Mark 1:11. Very few people have heard the audible voice of God. John the Baptist was one. And he still, with his dark glasses, became dark. Prophetic people tend to do that. Know your upside, know your downside. People that are gifted in this area, the gift of serving, what wonderful people they are. Every time they're around, things get better. Because they see stuff and they do stuff. Prophetic people see stuff and say stuff. Serving people see stuff. Watch, if you have this gift and today you walked by a piece of paper that was on the floor, you probably stopped and picked it up. Thank you. You made the place better. A prophetic person may walk by and said, who are those people that throw trash on the floor? They need to do right. That's wrong. The serving people actually does be, they pick it up. Okay. The upside is things get done. Here's the downside of serving. And if this is your gift, they tend to serve alone. They'll tend to take on jobs. And unless they have the gift of leadership alongside of them, they tend to do things alone and isolated because they will serve until they burn out. And then they will be a little critical for the people that are not serving. An example in the Bible, Martha. Martha was a servant. What was she doing when Jesus was in the house? She was in the kitchen because there had to be food. Somebody's got to do this job. And she also became critical. Remember she became critical? Jesus! She doesn't criticize her sister Mary directly. She criticizes third party. Serving people do that too. Jesus, tell my sister she should also be serving. Serving people feel that way. Everyone should be serving. Which is true. But serving people actually get joy, a sense of accomplishment. That's that gift. It's a beautiful gift of the Spirit. That may be the primary way you look at life. When you see something, you know something needs to be done, and you step in to do it. Teaching people, wonderful people. Teaching people are always asking the question, why? Why is it like that? Why is that like that? And they want to learn from the why, and then they want to help others to learn why as well. Those are teachers. Why is it like that? Why is that like that? And what can we learn from it? An example in the Bible, Paul, the apostle Paul, was a teacher. His primary, I believe, gift that he looked at through life was teaching. When he's in prison, what's he doing when he's in prison? I got to teach some stuff. He could have got into the serving. He could have gone into the cafeteria, I guess. No, he's a teacher. So we're still reading and studying the stuff he taught while he was in prison because he had to teach. He connected the dots. If you know anything about Paul's ministry, he connected the dots from the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, to what Jesus was all about. And that's what teachers do. They connect the dots. Their upside is when you're around them, you learn stuff. The downside is sometimes they get so in love with the material, they forget the people. They will just, in fact, they can literally, sometimes a teaching person with this motivation will give a lecture, and if you're getting it, that's good. But if you're not, that's up to you. Like if you love knowledge like I love knowledge, you'd get it. So if you're a teaching motivation and you're speaking and someone's on their cell phone, that's on now. Poor them. Me? That's not me. I have to keep you with me. I have teaching in my gift mix, but here's my primary one. I got to keep you with me because we've got to be on the same wavelength. I've got to see your eyeballs and make sure you haven't dozed off. And if you're on your phone, it really bugs me because I wonder, are they doing Facebook or taking messages? Notes on the message. I'm just believing because I'm an encourager. I'm going to believe the very best for you. You're taking notes on the message. That's good. Not checking in on Facebook. Though, if you check in on Facebook, it blesses people at the church. Here's encouraging people. They're fun to be around. They just see things, I'm going to say, through rose-colored glasses. Where a prophetic person may see things through dark glasses, a encouraging person sees the upside. They are filled with hope. They may even pastor a church called the Church of Hope. Just because it's my, I didn't know that. Just That's part. Now, here's the weakness is that they can slap you on the back, tell you everything's going to be okay, and move on. When you may need a little deeper ministry than that. They can move very fast. And especially because I have the gift mix of leadership as well, I can sometimes get operating in elevating the positive aspects of the organization and neglect the individual. That can happen to me as well. I know this one well. In the Bible, the example would be Barnabas. Barnabas is actually called the son of encouragement. He was an apostle, right? He was an apostle, but he was an encouraging apostle. Watch this. Paul was an apostle. He was a teaching apostle. Different types of motivation to their ministry, which we'll talk about next week. But he was an encourager. When nobody wanted to go around Saul, who became Paul because he seemed a little toxic to people, who went and got him and helped him become the man God wanted him to become? Thank you, Barnabas, because I just mentioned his name. I thought the answer would be very easy to get. See, I'm an encourager. I gave you the answer, then I asked for it. Now I'm affirming you. And some prophetic person's going, that's dumb. Encouraging people. Upside, downside. And it's good to know your gift, the way you approach life, because you need to nurture your upside and have some people come around to help you with your downside. And when we all do this together, we all become better. Giving people, generous people. Upside is, when they're around, projects and people get funding. These people are gifted with money. Because it's very hard to be generous if you don't got no cash. So God blesses them. They're able to make finances. That's the ups, and the upside is when they use those finances to advance kingdom, godly projects and people, the downside is because they're very good at making money, they can become materialistic. And their gift isn't used or fulfilled because they're not really giving. They decide it's about me instead of we, and they're not generous. Examples in the Bible. Jesus loved tax collectors. Tax collectors happened to be good with money. That's why they were in the tax business. When Jesus had Matthew join his team, Matthew just gave up everything. He gave it all. That's generosity. And then he had a party for his friends that were far away from God because he sponsored that party. He funded that party. He gave to that party because it was an opportunity to invite Jesus into his house and have all his friends over for a party, hoping that there would be some life transformation as he used his gift of generosity. You know another tax collector with generosity? Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had a life-transforming moment with Jesus. His soul was opened. He became more than he ever was. And what does the first thing he says when he has that transformation of his soul? He said, I'm giving away half my stuff. That's generosity, isn't it? Would anyone like to do that today? And then he says, if I've ripped people off, because tax collectors ripped people off a lot in those days, I'm going to give back four times anything I've ripped off. He was generous, a giver. Leadership people, if you lead, the Bible says lead, well, it's a gift. Leaders can see problems that need to be overcome, and they start to calculate how to use people and resources to come together to meet that need. They see things from a high level. These people see life from 30,000 feet. They can see how that's going to touch that, and we're going to go over here, and we need to pull these people together. We need to get them organized. An example in the Bible, James, the half-brother of Jesus, who became the leader in the church in Jerusalem. He became a leader. And in Acts chapter 15, when the church was in trouble, they got into a debate. And they had to call people together. He led them to a solution that worked to forward the organization. That's what leaders do. That's their upside. Their downside? They sometimes can be so interested in the organization that they forget the individual. They can be so steamrolling with the operation that they forget the individual. Leaders can have a, because they work at 30,000 feet, they see things high. Mercy. Now this is, I'm very acquainted with this gift as well. This is my beloved's, Darla's primary gift. She not only listens to someone, she feels what they feel. These are strong people of empathy. Where I may come along and slap you in the back and give you a scripture and say, everything's going to be okay. Just quote this scripture. And I'm moving on to the next person because they also need encouragement. Darla's going to take some time with you. Here's the upside is that when she ministers to people, it is at a very, very deep level. The downside is that it can be crushing. If you have this gift, you have to be careful that it doesn't crush your soul. That you don't take on so much of the other person's emotions that it crushes you. That you literally know the line between pointing people to Jesus and trying to be Jesus. Because if you try to be Jesus for someone, it will crush you. It will wear you down. In the Bible, an example, Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan walked by a man on the side of the road who was in desperate need. Obviously, the people that walked before him, the priest and walked by that man, and the Levite, they did not have this gift. They couldn't have walked by the man if they had this gift. They found some rationale, reason, whatever it was. Maybe they were looking at the big picture. Maybe they were prophetic and said he shouldn't have been walking on this road. Who knows? But they didn't stop. But the Good Samaritan, empathy. The Good Samaritan stops. The Good Samaritan ministers life to that person. So as I start to read these things and we start to understand that each of us, as the scripture says, we read it in chapter 6, each of us, according to the grace that is given to us, has one of these gifts. I just want you to start thinking about, how do I look at life? Now, you can have a primary gift, I think that's true, and a gift mix, some other things that are thrown in there. So I have leadership, but I lead through the lens of encouragement. I can see things, I can see how things go together, but it's through encouragement. I have serving. And serving is sometimes good for me and sometimes bad for me. Sometimes I say, I'll just do it myself, because that's what serving tends to do. When I should be exercising my leadership and saying, I need to delegate this to others. That's a dilemma within me all the time. So as I read this scenario, just ask yourself, what would be my response to the following situation? I'd like you all to kind of, I want to pray over you before you go that God will cause you to desire your gift, unlock the door of your gift in a greater way. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you in your gift. But here's the scenario. You're at a dinner, maybe with your family, maybe with friends. It's near the end of the meal, and someone knocks their dessert onto the floor, and it shatters and breaks on the floor. Worst of all, it was a chocolate dessert. Tragedy. People of mercy are already feeling, oh, chocolate, and Pastor loves chocolate. Okay, so when that happens, okay, you're sitting at the table. If your response is, that's what happens when you're not careful. I'm just saying, and it's not right or wrong. It's not even that one of these is better than another. They're not in a hierarchy. They're in a circle. They all come together to see us transformed into the person that God wants us to be, to become more like Christ. And when we do that, we bring God's kingdom onto the earth through our gifts. Now, if your response is, oh, let me help you clean that up. First thing that goes through your mind, probably serving. You see something and you do something. You're going to serve. If when the dish hits the floor, the first thought that comes through your mind is, now the reason that happened It was a little too close to the edge of the table. And if you'll notice the way the dishes are scooped out, they're a little heavy on one side. Now, if we would level out the dessert so they're not a little overweighted on one side, and if we would move the dessert to the middle of the table, then I think that we'll have better success in our dessert. You see something? You say, why did that happen? And what can we learn from it? And how can we grow better? Probably a teaching motivation. If you say, oh, I've done the same thing so many times. Next time we eat together, let's have dessert at the beginning of the meal so we don't have this problem. Brilliant idea. I identify with this guy. We always should have dessert first anyway because Christ is coming and very soon. Who would want to miss it? Okay. Now, if your first thought is, oh, don't worry, I'll go out, I'll buy some ice cream, and I'll buy some dessert, I'll be back in a couple of minutes, I'll make sure we all have dessert before we leave the table, you see something, you're giving to the solution, you're out the door with your wallet in your hand because you're going to give to make the situation better. Giving motivation. If the first thoughts that roll through your mind when the dessert hits the floor is, Jim, get the mop. Sue, please come over here and help me pick this up. Mary, get into the kitchen and start making a replacement dessert. Okay, everybody got your assignments? Go! You see the situation? You see the solution? You start tasking resources and people. You administer the thing and move towards a solution. Leadership. If you say, I know how that feels, could have happened to anyone, and especially if you reach over and start rubbing them on the back, probably mercy. See the difference? I'm going to slap you in the back. Don't worry, it was just dessert. Darla's going to rub your back. It's okay. When Darla grieves, when someone goes through grief and mourning, she grieves with those who grieve at a very deep level. Now, we're all called to do that, to grieve with people. But she helps me to understand. And when these work together, they make things better. Here's an example from this week. I'm with Darla at a women's conference. Darla went because she was a woman. I was there because I'm on the leadership team for our family of churches, 360 churches that was sponsoring this event, and I'm on the leadership team for that, so they wanted me to be there, which is, an interesting room. Full of estrogen. It's like a 1,000-plus women and just a handful of guys. After the service, I actually had to go looking for guys that I could just get around. I said, I just need to be by you. Just let me stand by you. So, great services. Tammy Trent spoke the first night. It was an incredible story she gave. And then we got up the next morning. There's a morning session. We're on our way to the morning session together, and we walk by Starbucks. Darla loves Starbucks, and she says, can we stop? I said, oh, okay. Now, first of all, I'm checking my watch, because I got this leadership in me to make sure I have to be on time. This drives me. I have to be on time. It's not an option. Okay, we got time. We can stop at Starbucks, but the line is so long. So leadership, I go, okay, you get in one line, I'll get another. There's two lines. Whoever gets to the front is going to get first. So she gets in one line, I get in another line. Now, am I really bummed out that I'm in this line? No. I'm seeing opportunity. I'm an encourager. I'm going, okay, I'm in a line now, and I can talk to people, and they can't leave. It's an opportunity. A prophetic person, and there were people around me, they should be better organized. They should have had this system better. This is a bad, they're right, they're giving correction. Maybe rightfully so, but I was going, I'm with some people in the line. I can talk to them. So I talked to the ladies in front of me who are not with the conference, They're with another organization. Talk to them about the Lord. Talk to them about what we're doing. And then turn, and there's a young lady behind me. I start talking to her. I find out she is a pastor's wife, a new pastor's wife. So I start to feel in my heart, you know, Darla needs to meet her. So when Darla's line got there first, which is bad organization on my part, I really thought my line would win. I'm also competitive. But Darla's line, they move faster in that line. So Darla finished, and I said, Darla, I want you to come over, and I want you to meet this pastor's wife. And so she meets her, and she hears a little bit of her story. She starts to empathize with her. She starts to connect with her and says, you know, I'm coming to an event this afternoon that's by invitation only, but I'd like to invite you to come and be my guest. Can you come to that? So sure enough, they get there. They get there together. Darla is connecting at a very deep level. She's empathizing. She's hearing the story, and there's some story to be heard. And so I'm supposed to pick them up because we have to go to another event, but the event ends and there is no Darla. And I know what's happening. She's exercising her gift of mercy. So sure enough, she comes out late. But I have to remember, oh, what was going on? Well, you won't believe it. And she starts to tell me the story because she has met. Darla also has generosity. She was taking money out of her wallet, and she has giving. She's a very strong giver. But see how that when they work together, like I do my thing in line, Darla does her thing, when you do your thing, when you understand what gift you have, you step into it, you actually pray over it as you begin your day. Lord, help me to lead. Help me to teach. Help me to show mercy today. Help me to encourage someone today. You pray over that gift for the day, and God will open up opportunities. And as you step into the gift, you are transformed, according to Romans 12, to become more the person that God is making you to be. And that's much better than always trying to not conform to this world. Well, I wish you got that point. I wish you got that. So you don't concentrate or focus on not conforming. You concentrate on focus on transforming, because the Spirit pulls you to that place. Got it? Good. Let's stand. Okay, let's close our eyes. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come and just prepare to minister to many, many needs that are in this room. The first thing I'd like to do, and I'd like to keep our eyes closed and our hearts wide open, I'd like to give this invitation. I'd like to invite every single person that is here in the presence of God to open your heart to the presence and the person of God. I'd like you to open your heart to Jesus Christ in this moment and experience His grace, His salvation. We're going to pray a prayer in a moment that if you pray from your heart this prayer, it opens up a whole new world. The kingdom of God comes. There's a transformation and a turning. I'd like everyone to pray, and I'd like everyone to believe. As we pray this prayer as a community of faith together, we're all lifting our voice. We're going to pray out loud because God loves to hear our voice. And we're going to pray together. And here's the prayer. I'm going to say it and then just pray it after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I open my heart and my soul to Jesus Christ. Come into my life. I give you my life. Be my Savior, be my Lord. I repent of my sins, and I leave them behind, and I turn towards you, Lord. Help me to follow Jesus every day of my life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. That's a good prayer. Hallelujah, amen. It's a good prayer. So, if you prayed that prayer, first time or first time in a long time, it's essential that you meet with one of our prayer team and just say, I pray that prayer. Let them pray for you. They'll also give you some literature to help you. You can also text us. If you said yes to God, you can text the number and we'll start just sending you a free ebook just to help you with your spiritual life. Now let me do this because I want to pray over you too. A couple of things before we go. I'm going to pray for all seven gifts. We're going to ask people to come and receive prayer for any need. And we're going to open the tables of communion if you'd like to have communion today. Communion is taking the bread and the cup of the Lord and remembering and thinking about what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus died on the cross. And we remember it when we take the bread and take the cup. He didn't stay dead. He rose on the third day, and he's in this place, and we celebrate his presence in the communion. Now, let me just do this, though. As you think over these things, how many of you would just, it's not a right or wrong answer, but you just, hey, I believe I'm in the perceiving area. I see the thing behind the thing, a very strong sense of justice. You're in this is the primary way you look at life. Just put your hand up and just sort of say, yeah, that's the way I am. That's the way I'm wired. Yeah. How many of this? Serving. That's the primary way. When you see it, that's your primary way you'll react to life. How many teaching? Why? You want to know the why? You want to bring that to other people? The why? How many encouragers? Encouraging? Yeah, you're very positive people, very up people. Generosity and giving? Yeah. God will bless you with finances. We pray for that. We actually pray as pastor for this. Leadership, putting the pieces together, connecting the dots. Mercy, strong empathy with people's pain, strong empathy. So one of these is primary, a couple of them could be secondary. But Lord, I pray that we will desire the gifts of the Spirit. That each day as we arise, we will say, Lord, help me to perceive and to walk in the prophetic today. Help me, Lord, to serve those who need service. Help me, Lord, to teach, to encourage, to be generous, to lead when I need to lead, and to be merciful. Lord, release these gifts that the world would be a better place because we are on the planet. I pray God's blessing. And I bless the communion, the bread of the Lord, the cup of the Lord. May we receive these emblems with joy. You don't need to be a member of this church to receive communion, just a believer in Jesus. You don't have to be a member of this church to receive prayer. People always receive prayer in this church. And you're welcome to take that step of faith from where you are to pray with two or three people and release the kingdom of God this morning. This we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. God bless you guys.